precious. Peter references the precious blood of Jesus Christ. More precious than what? Silver or gold? Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Last week, we looked at verses 25 and 26. This week, we intend to finish up the chapter, verses 27, 28, 29, 30. Morning's message would just be a continuation of what we started last week, or part two, however you want to say it. But let's read these five verses here, beginning with verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This 11th chapter is one continuous exposition of the Lord. Remember, John's disciples came to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking if he be the one, way, be the one. And he testified to those disciples, not only with word, but with demonstration, that he was the one. Afterwards, he turned to the multitude and began to expound to them who John was. John was the forerunner. John was the one who testified of the Lord Jesus Christ. John was the one that pointed him out and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he said, oh, this generation. This generation is a perverse generation. What shall I liken this generation to? It's to liken unto children. That is, John and Jesus were the children. And they beckoning out to their friends, to their countrymen, to come and join them. And they would not. And then he pronounced judgment upon those cities which had witnessed his great and mighty works, which he had done, which testified that he was God, that he was sent from God, and that he in fact was God. They rejected the preaching of the gospel. The message which John preached, the message which Jesus preached. And he said that it would be It would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon. It would be more tolerable for Sodom. Than for those cities. And then he begins to thank the Father that these things were hidden from the wise and from what things? The gospel. The gospel, who Christ is. The Messiah. The way. The truth. The life. That these things were hidden from the, that he hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes, unto children. Oh, the faith of a child. The faith of a child of God. As children, helpless and dependent upon another. You see. Verse 26, he pronounces the sovereign will of God. It's according to the sovereign will of God, he said. And so, this morning we come to the second part. And we have here in this second part, we've titled the gracious offer. We have a gracious offer given to us in verses 28 to 30. Here we have one of the most gracious offers of the gospel and the benefits of the gospel given to us in scriptures. These are what is revealed unto babes. This coming to Christ. This rest. Is what is revealed unto babes, unto children. And so first of all, as we begin to look at this gracious offer, we want to first note the reverential introduction, which is in verse 27. Christ here sets before us His credentials, His authority to show us that He is empowered to make this invitation. He's empowered to dispense the benefits of the gospel. To those. We notice here, first of all, His commission. Where did His commission come from? Who was His commission from? Where did He receive His commission? He received His commission from the Father, did He not? He said there in verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Well, how much is delivered unto Him? How much is delivered unto Jesus Christ? All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And this has reference to, well, specifically His mediatorial office. In the book of John, chapter 14, in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. And so Timothy was told in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 15, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, one mediator. Not several, but one. One mediator. One that brings us the benefits of the gospel. The one who is the gospel. Amen. personified. And he brings us the benefits of the gospel. And so Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth were given to him. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 18, there it is quoted for us, all power is given unto me. That word power, that goes to a right to do as one pleases. It goes to authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Where? In heaven and in earth, you see. And so, he has authority to give eternal life. Look at John chapter 17. Sometimes I get carried away with quoting these verses or reading them off my notes. But turn to this one. Jesus here, speaking to the Father, he says, as thou hast given him, that is the Son. In verse 1, he referenced the Son. He said in verse 2, as thou hast given him power, authority, same word as in Matthew 28 and 18, over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given unto him. To do what? To give eternal life. You see. That's why we said he has the power. He has the authority. To give forth the benefits of the gospel. To give eternal life. To as many as the Father had given him. And he also, we're told in the book of John, chapter 5 and verse 27, that the Father has also given to him all judgment. All judgment has been given unto the Son in John chapter 5 and verse 27. And so, all the saved are going to stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. He's the judge. And all the unsaved, all those without Christ, and yes, there are some, there are many, there are the majority, I'm convinced, from the Word of God, it is the majority that is going to be standing at the great white throne judgment. And Jesus is going to be the judge. You see, the Father has delivered all things into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also in this verse, verse 27, we notice his intimacy with the Father. He said, no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Notice the intimacy there. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. In other words, the Father knows me, he said. The Father knows me. He's the only one that knows me. And no man knows me. That is, they know the transcendent glories, all his perfections of his nature. As his nature is whom? As his nature is the Son of God. And as his nature is the Son of Man. You see, that just boggles the mind. He was all man. At the same time, he was all God. You see. Wow. Amazing. I don't know it. And I certainly didn't know it in the natural man. Now I understand and comprehend little bits of it now in the spiritual man. One day I'm going to know better than now I know. You see? What man knows of his sufferings? What man knows of his sufferings? The Father knows of his sufferings. You see? And then he says, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. Do you know the Father? No man knoweth the Father save the Son. The Son of Man knows Him. The Son of God knows Him. That is His essence. God's eternal. His glory. Boy, what things my spiritual man sees, he is glorious. He is glorious. One day, I'll see Him better. What man knows the mind of the Father? The Son knows the mind of the Father. We have somewhat the mind of the Father revealed here, which is the mind of the Son. The one. The Son always did that which was in the mind of the Father. He didn't go contrary to it. His purposes, His counsels. What man knows all of that concerning the Father? No man. But the Son knows it. The Son knows it. And he to whomsoever the Son, will reveal Him. What did we read in John chapter 17 and verse 2? The Son gives eternal life to as many as the Father has given to Him. You see? And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Christ has both authority and ability to procure our salvation. And what satisfaction there is in knowing that both Father and Son are in complete agreement concerning it. The Son didn't save me contrary to the Father. And the Father doesn't desire that someone be saved contrary to the Son. They're in complete agreement. And so the Son gives eternal life to whomsoever He will. Whomsoever, which is what? All that the Father has given to Him. You're in my happiness. Lies in an acquaintance with God. In knowing Him. That is where eternal happiness is. That is where real happiness is. Is in an acquaintance with Him. You see, that is eternal life. Man that has not eternal life has not happiness. If you would have, get this, if you would have a relationship with God, it must be through the Lord Jesus Christ. We already have quoted to you John 14 and verse 6. And we quote it to you again, John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now the offer. After such a devout introduction as this, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Words whereby we must be saved. You must come to Jesus Christ. You must come to Him. There's no other way. We've stated it over and over again. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." Notice the character of those that are invited to come. Who is it that are invited to come? All that labor and are heavy laden. What does those terms signify? All who have a heavy load to carry. They have a heavy load to carry and they're burdened under that load. They're growing weary. They've nowhere to turn. They're in a helpless condition, as we said. They are children. They're helpless. They've tried everything to get rid of this load. It's heavy. It's burden. It's weighing them down. They're growing weary under it. There are those who are under that load of sin. The load of sin which they are carrying. Praise God. They come to the place that the publican came to. In the book of Luke chapter 18 and verse 13, and he would not so much as lift up his eyes towards heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." See, he'd carry that load of sin, that weight, long enough. He needed help. He was sinking under that load and under that weight of sin. Must as those at the time of Pentecost, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached to them and revealed to them that they were the ones, Israel, who had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, who did no wrong. They said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were pricked in heart. They were poked through their heart. That's what the word means. They were poked through in heart. Today we would say they were convicted of their sin. Their sin of rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, "What shall we do?" Remember that day? Remember that day? Just as the Philippian jailer witnessing Paul and Silas there in the prison, singing. I mean, there they are, bound hand and foot in the prison, in this dungeon. Cold, dark, dreary dungeon. Just a little flame of light. Bars are shut. Singing praises, glorifying God. They've got us in prison, but they can't shut our mouths. We're going to glorify God for the great things He's done for us. I said earlier, there's real joy, there's real happiness in having eternal life in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when they're in prison, bowing hand and foot, they can sing His praises. That Philippian jailer. And those prison doors were open. The chains fell off all the prisoners. And he thought his life would be lost. He cried out to the only place that he could cry out to. "What must I do to be saved. I want what you have, Paul. I want what you have, Silas. What must I do to be saved? The invitation Jesus said is, come unto me. Come unto Jesus. He is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Oh, I've heard people say, I've met people, well, we all are going to heaven. You're going your way and I'm going my way. No, there's only one way. There's only one way. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you're on some other way than the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. Amen. You're on the road to destruction. You see? Jesus said, come unto me, because I'm the way. I'm the truth and I'm the life. I'm the way to the Father. Notice the results. Oh, how blessed are the results. He said, I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest now. Peace and assuredly knowing that my sins are forgiven, and rest to come. Blessed rest to come. Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Oh, what rest. When I'm finally forever delivered from the very presence of sin. To sin no more. I'm not only delivered from the presence of sin, but I'm delivered from this old fleshly nature to sin. There'll not be no sin where I'm going. I won't have to contend with it. That war, that struggle that the Apostle Paul tells us about in the book of Romans in chapter 7 that is ongoing in every one of us that are saved and born again this morning, that'll be gone. That conflict will be gone. I'll be able to do perfectly the desires of my heart. That which is pleasing to the Father. You see. For I shall be like my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, what rest that is. Well, some think all they got to do is come to Christ and that's it. That's all I got to do. That's not all Christ said. It's a continuation of thought. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. You see, this coming to Christ is joining ourselves to Him. We take the yoke. We're yoked together. We're joined together with Him. And there's no getting apart from Him. We're yoked together. Just as two oxen that are to work together in the field are yoked together, and one can't go this way and another and the other one go that way, they got to go this way. It's the only way they can go. And we're to be yoked to Christ. Take my yoke upon you, He said. So we must be joined. We must be submitted to Him. The book of Deuteronomy in chapter 10 and verse 20. He said, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave. Cleave, that word cleave, it means stick to like glue. We're to be bonded to, Jesus said, take my yoke. We're to be yoked together with him. But this yoke, he said in verse 30, this yoke, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs in chapter 14. Proverbs 14. I'm going to see. It's easy. It's very easy. Verse 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. You see, the yoke of Christ is an easy yoke. Oh, we're to grow in grace and knowledge of him. And we find that knowledge is easy to them of understanding. We've been given understanding of the gospel. We've seen our sinful condition. Now the yoke is an easy yoke. He said, our load will be light. My yoke is easy and my burden, our load is light. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, he says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Is that a burden? Is that a burden? Is it a burden? Oh no, it's not a burden to the new man. Oh, the new man delights to do the will of God. The new man delights in the Word of God. New man delights to do the will of God. And to do it perfectly. It's not a burden. And so, John said, and his commandments are not grievous. That word grievous, they're not burdensome. They're not a burden to the new man. You see, the new man delights in doing the will of God. And so, the Apostle Paul, consider the Apostle Paul. In the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, in verse 17, he said, it's a light affliction. He said, it's just a light affliction. It's a light load. It's a light load to carry for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's just for a moment. It's just for a fleeting period of time. So what if you live to be 110 years old, Brother Ron? Your burdens of this life are just a light affliction. It's just for a moment. For a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Oh, glory. Glory that shall be. Everlasting life. What's 110 years in comparison to everlasting life? What's 110 years in comparison to eternal life? Oh, it's just a moment. Just a moment in time. But that's not all. He said, in taking this yoke upon us, and he said, it's easy, it's light. He said, learn of me. Learn of me. He'll be our teacher. He'll be our instructor. Daily. Daily we're to go to the Word daily and be instructed by him. To learn of him.
We daily attend to His instructions from His Word, given to us by His Spirit.
The thing I got to contend with is this feeble memory. In my readings, I'll see a verse or two that just really blesses me, you know, and I'm moved to share with others, and I do that on my Facebook account and my Twitter account and Instagram account, and wherever I can, I share it. But then, 15 minutes later, 20 minutes later, what was that verse again? See, the thing I battle is this weak mind, you see, but all of the blessings that come from the Word of God, and they come to us on a daily basis if we seek it on a daily basis. He said, learn of me, I'm meek. We're to learn meekness. He said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. He's our example. We're to learn of Him. Because He's our example. He's our teacher, instructor. He's teaching us by example. He's taught us by example in the Word of God. And so 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. I should follow in His steps. I should be meek as He was meek. I should be lowly as He is lowly. I should be gentle of spirit as He is gentle of spirit. I should be humble as He's a... How humble was Jesus? He was God. Did He exalt it among men? No, His works did. But He didn't. He left the glories of heaven. The glories of heaven. To come down here in the tabernacle. He, perfect, holy, righteous, just, came down here and dwelt among sinners. Sinners, I'm looking to be delivered from this body of sin and from the presence of sin. And He came down here and dwelt amongst it. Wow. That's lowly. That's humble. He created all of this. He owns it all. But yet the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. That was Jesus Christ. Had to lay His head down on something He created. Had no shelter, per se. In fact, we find Him sleeping very little. When the disciples were sleeping, He was up in the mountain praying. Isn't that something? That was our Lord and Savior. What's that say about us? Oh, He is gentle in spirit, full of compassion in heart. How do I know? How do I know? Well, I could tell you because His Word says so and His Word does say so, but I've experienced it. I've experienced it. I've experienced His compassion, His mercy, His great love. He's lowly in heart. As we said, He's the Son of God. He's Son of the Father. He became a worm. That's what man is, a worm. And He became a worm and died. He didn't just die. He died the death of the cross a shame, a scorn, so that my sins might be atoned for, might be forgiven in His precious blood. Ah, we'll find rest for our souls. Coming to Christ, taking His yoke, being yoked together with Him, learning meekness and lowliness. We'll find rest unto our souls. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. After stating by faith in chapter 4, the virtues of faith being accounted unto us for the righteousness of God, and that sin account being wiped out, and in its place is the righteousness of God. Said in Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, do you have that peace this morning? Oh, what peace that is. After going on in chapter 6, chapter 5, and stating there the atonement for sin, Jesus Christ, while we were enemies, died on the cross for our sins, and as one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and stating that where sin did much more abound, grace did much more abound where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Let me get it straight there. And goes on in chapter 6 and shows us how that we were dead in sins before, but now we're dead to sin. Chapter 7 talks about the struggle that we have between the natural man and between the new man, the spiritual man. And then he says in verse 1 of chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Here's the qualifying mark to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians in closing. Galatians chapter 5. Here's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no... Is that how we're walking? Are we walking in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another unto envying one another. Come unto Christ, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus said. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest under your souls. Brother Ron, do we have a song in closing?